Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 8 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com on your computer, radio.com, or the radio.com app. The only app to listen to this radio station, this fine radio station. Make sure you made the switch to radio.com. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. We'll go to the phones in a few minutes here. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. Pound 560 on your cell. Or you can always text us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022. But please don't text and drive. You know, I heard earlier today from the Cleveland troll, Jamba. You notice you haven't heard much from him since the Cavaliers got crushed in the NBA Finals. He disappeared into his cave for a few months. Now he's all cocky about the Browns. The Browns are on Hard Knocks. The Browns have got Jarvis Landry talking trash. He thinks the Browns are a playoff team. You realize the over-under for the Browns for wins this year, actually worse than the Dolphins, according to Vegas, right? I mean, Miami Dolphins had 6.5 wins, according to those wise guys in Vegas who build all those fancy hotels and casinos. Cleveland Browns, 5.5 wins. I mean, listen, even if the Cleveland Browns get dramatically better this year, and they might get dramatically better with the personnel that they've added, to go from 0 wins to more than 4 or 5 wins, very difficult, right? Now, I'm not forgetting that Tony Sperano, may he rest in peace, in his first year with the Dolphins, they went from 1-15 the year prior to 11-5. That doesn't happen every day, right? Rome wasn't built in a day. For the Cleveland Browns, that have been a poorly run organization for as long as anyone can remember, and they do still have the same head coach, Hugh Jackson, who is 1-31 over 2 seasons at the helm there in Cleveland. I mean, to think that that team is going to go from literally 0 wins, 0-16, to a playoff team in 1 year. I don't care how much Jarvis Landry balls or if Baker Mayfield ends up starting eventually, how much he balls. That team is not going from 0 wins to more than 5 or 6 wins max. That's where I would cap it off for that team.
I just happened to watch the first episode of Hard Knocks last night, and they think they're so good.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy. Baker's so full of himself. Tyrod is so... And Jarvis is just... What a way to, like, 360 everything. Like, being one of the, you know, most favorite players, most beloved players down here. And now, I mean, everything that's come out, it's just like, I don't even want to see him.
How do people outside of this market feel about Jarvis Landry? Like, we have obvious reasons, many of us, to dislike him here because he throws the Dolphins under the bus every chance he gets, right?
So much shade. So much shade.
But do people outside of Miami, outside of Dolphin fans, do they find that entertaining? Because I will admit to you, if a player throws shade at a team I don't care about, I usually find that to be entertaining, and it makes me like that player more, right? So, like, if I wasn't a Dolphins fan, if I were a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, obviously if I was a Cleveland fan, I would love the guy. That's a given. But if I were, like, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan or a fan of any other team, and I'm watching Hard Knocks, and I'm listening to Jarvis Landry interviews, and he's throwing Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins under the bus, I would probably find that to be incredibly entertaining. If it wasn't for the fact that it hits me too personally and hits me too close to home, because to me it's like, okay, for 4 years, Jarvis Landry, that was my guy, right? I defended him. I loved him. I enjoyed watching him play on Sundays. I even defended the guy with that awful yard per catch average of his. And now after how beloved he was in this town, he's trashing this organization every chance he gets. Like, to me, it's very unbecoming. But I think if I were a fan of any other NFL team, I would probably be really enjoying this, right? Like, if I were just an impartial viewer watching Hard Knocks, I would think, man, Jarvis Landry, that guy is quickly becoming one of my favorite players in the NFL. And at this point for me, could not be farther from the truth. I mean, for Dolphin fans, Hector, the guy has had a complete heel turn, like you would say in pro wrestling terminology.
But I feel like when he was in Miami, he was kind of off the grid. Like, nobody really knew about him. At least, like, they knew who Jarvis was, but, you know, it's not to the extent of, like, Odell. Like, you know,
right.
You're comparing him to Odell at one point, you know, being a Dolphins fan because you see all the one-handed catches, the practices before the game with the one-handers. And it's just, like, kind of, you weren't a Dolphins fan. Like, you didn't really know how good he was. And then now he's in Hard Knocks, and he's kind of showing off and all these one-handed grabs in training camp, and it's just like now he's just throwing all the shade, and it's just like, you know, whatever, man.
So you're saying he's the first player to ever leave Miami to go to Cleveland to get more famous?
Exactly.
I mean, I know LeBron pulled the Cleveland switcheroo a couple of times, but he had to come down to Miami. I mean, LeBron, his biggest jump in fame was when he left Cleveland to come to Miami. He also became infamous at that point. A lot of people disliked him because of the decision, but LeBron upped his celebrity status when he came to Miami, and then he took that back with him to Cleveland. But he achieved that by leaving Cleveland for Miami. Yeah, I will say, for as outspoken as Jarvis Landry is, he's got nothing on Jalen Ramsey. Boy, did I enjoy that burn book of his. I can't remember who it was. I think it was the guy from Good Morning Football who was on with Hockman today, who compared what Jalen Ramsey did to one of those burn books you had in school. Every class in every middle school or high school had one of those, right? Where you would have one of those, like, Compton notebooks where you would write down, like, a list of girls you thought were good-looking or ugly and personality, I don't think it was a big issue when you were writing a burn book. But you would have those books that would make, like, honest, brutally honest assessments on people. And without fail, every time any high school kid, middle school kid made a burn book, at some point a teacher or principal finds it and everyone gets suspended. Like that happened to every class in every middle school, in every high school. And that's essentially what Jalen Ramsey did to the NFL. So here's his opinions on the majority of the NFL's quarterbacks. You know, this was a Q&A, so he went through the guys who don't suck. Aaron Rodgers does not suck. I agree. Tom Brady doesn't suck. Fair. Marcus Mariota. I think Marcus Mariota is a great quarterback for their team. Tyrod Taylor. That's one thing we learned from Hard Knocks. It's not pronounced Tyrod. Is that kind of a D-bag move to wait that long to change the pronunciation? I know that Patrick Sertan did that, but that was before the social media age, right? Like I feel like it was easier before the digital age, when the only way you got your news was essentially through the newspaper, for us to think it was Patrick Sertan for so many years when it was really Patrick Sertan, easier to get away with that before YouTube than it is now. I think in today's digital age, if you're Tyrod or Tyrod Taylor, you can't wait this long before telling people how to properly pronounce your name. I think at this point it's grandfathered in. You're Tyrod forever. I'm not gonna succumb to your Tyrod wishes. You're Tyrod to me.
I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy. He makes Baker look bad, according to Hard Knocks, because he's the first one in, last one out.
Right.
And Baker just wants to chill. He's young, hangs with his girlfriend late at night. I don't like Tyrod, and I'll stick to Tyrod.
Yeah. Here's what Jalen Ramsey said about Tyrod. I think Tyrod is actually a better quarterback than he gets credit for, because he does not make mistakes. He never makes mistakes against the Dolphins. I'll give him that. Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know yet. If you know how to work within your scheme, then it means you're good. I guess you could say he's good. Okay. I could agree with that. Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. I guess he grouped them for some reason into one answer. Watson will be the league MVP in a couple of years. That's high praise, 100%, he says. There's not even a debate about that. Him and Carson Wentz, for every year starting now until 5 to 10 years, it's going to be them too. They're that good. I think I'm with him on that. And it's crazy because, like, Carson Wentz was not healthy for the Super Bowl victory last year, and yet I still feel like Wentz wins a Super Bowl or two before his career is done. I think he's that good, and that team should still be very good. Jared Goff. He's average to above average. Dak Prescott, he's good. He's all right. He's okay. I'll put it that way. That was a weird answer. He's good. He's all right. He's okay. Okay. Kirk Cousins, I think he's good. I think he's a winner. Derek Carr, I think he's good. Eli Manning. I won't say Eli's good. I can agree with that. I mean, Eli Manning, off the top of my head, because I know that there have been some mediocre and bad quarterbacks who have won one Super Bowl. Is Eli Manning potentially the worst multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback ever? And like, I get it, Eli Manning is not terrible, but Eli Manning, I think, is so overrated with what he has been able to accomplish with some of the best defensive lines in the history of football. Okay, I actually watching Eli Manning, he doesn't look like a Hall of Famer to me, but I know he will be a Hall of Famer because of his hardware. Russell Wilson. I think Russell is good. I think he's just a really good leader, too. Yeah, I agree with that. Ben Roethlisberger. This is one that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I think he's decent at best. Wow, I disagree with that, man. I mean, listen, I don't necessarily like Ben Roethlisberger so much as a person, but as a quarterback, I think Ben Roethlisberger is the real deal. I think he's decent at best. Big Ben slings the ball a lot of the time. He just slings it, and his receivers go get it. I mean, listen, okay, he's had some very fast receivers and some of the best receivers in the league. Look what Antonio Brown does, but it still takes a quarterback, a great quarterback, to do what he's done for, what, 13, 14 years now, Roethlisberger? Like, you can't fake it for that long, right? With multiple different receivers, multiple different running backs, multiple different offensive lines. If Ben Roethlisberger was as overrated as Jalen Ramsey says he was, he would have been exposed after a few years, right? He would have had like the Tommy Maddox arc in Pittsburgh, where he looks good for like a year and a half, or Cordell Stewart. Ben Roethlisberger is the real deal. I don't know how you can take it away from that guy. Blake Bortles, he says, Blake, do what he got to do. That's a great answer. What do you think of Blake Bortles? He do what he got to do. Nick Foles, he won them a Super Bowl, so he's good enough to do that. Okay. Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is really good, even at his age. Hey, he's 39 years old, Drew Brees. It's funny, like, we talk so much about Tommy Brady being 40. We don't talk that much about Drew Brees being 39. Where's the respect for Brees? Where's the respect for a guy who's, what, like a year and a half younger than Tommy? Or, yeah, like a year and a half younger than Tommy Brady? Not enough respect for that guy. Andrew Luck, I don't really think he's that good. Ryan Tannehill. This was my favorite answer out of all of them, to be honest with you. Ryan Tannehill. I don't know that much about him. I haven't heard the greatest stuff about him, but I don't know him personally, so I can't tell you. I don't watch their games either. Don't you always, over the years, don't you sometimes feel that way when you're watching a Dolphins game and you're thinking, God, if I wasn't a fan of this team, this would not be the game that I'm watching, right? Like, I'd be like, either there's like a Cowboys-Eagles game on Channel 7 that's blocked locally. I wish I could watch that right now. I mean, we felt like that a lot over the years, that if I wasn't a lifelong fan of this team, I would not be going out of my way to watch them. And that's essentially what Jalen Ramsey said. I don't watch their games.
A lot more people would have Red Zone.
Yeah. Oh, Red Zone is great. I got to make sure I'm on that for this coming season. Actually, no, I don't know if I should, because I'm covering all the Dolphins home games, so I'd be paying for like 8 weeks out of 16. I don't know if that's worth it.
No.
Yeah, good answer. So let's see what other quarterbacks you talk about. Oh, this is funny. Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan's overrated. He didn't know Matt Ryan's name at first. He actually had to ask the GQ reporter, what's the name of the guy from Atlanta? Oh, yeah, Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan's overrated. Mitchell Trubisky. Oh, he doesn't mention Trubisky at all. Colin Kaepernick. He's way better than some of these second-string quarterbacks out here. Probably better than some of the first-string quarterbacks out here. He's definitely good enough to be in the league, but he won't be, sadly. I think that's true. Now you're going to jump all over me for saying that. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, I think he is better than plenty of the backup quarterbacks in these league, in this league. Oh, I get a text from from Matt Wilson Biff. He's a big Steelers fan. He appreciates me sticking up for Big Ben. Biff says to me, I like your Big Ben take. Knew you had good takes in you every once in a while. I know what's going to happen. The next time Biff is in the building, he's going to turn my Big Ben take into like a station promo. Don't do that. Like, nighttime is Dono time. I think Big Ben is a good quarterback. Like, don't make that my promo. Nobody's going to care. I know he's going to be tempted to do that because he's a Steelers fanboy. I told a lie to start the segment. I said we'd go to the phones in a couple minutes. I flat out lied. We'll go to I do promise though. I didn't promise before. My word, Hector, I'm a man of honor. You know that?
You got them loaded up. You got the phone lines loaded up.
They're loaded up. So we're gonna go through the phone calls. I'm even going to put off the top three list to take your phone calls. How about that? Top three dirtiest players in the game. I will get to it. Maybe if we can get through the phone calls fast enough, maybe we'll get to it next segment.
I disagree. As your producer, I disagree on that notion.
What do you think? What do you disagree? You think we should do the top three first?
That is correct.
All right, we'll do the top three first, and then we'll take your calls next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Morse has more. Ed Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County.
Tell you, man, narrowing down a top three list of dirty athletes was tough. A lot of these top three lists are tough, but I know you're going to make people angry no matter what. Like, I considered Bill Laimbeer. I considered Ty Cobb, even though he was born in 1886, and nobody cares, but a lot of people did bring him up. Certainly considered Dennis Rodman, Albert Haynesworth, Courtland Finnegan. A lot of dirty athletes we considered here, and the whole point of this list is the fact that I clearly thought that what Jose Ureña, the Marlins pitcher, did last night to Ronaldo. I've got that bastard Cristiano on the brain. What he did to Ronald Acuña last night was clearly a dirty play. Clearly a dirty play. So I wanted to rank my top three dirty athletes. I'll tell you another one to Hector, and you'll consider this as a soccer fan that I highly considered. Luis Suarez.
Perfect. Excellent choice.
I mean, I can't remember who the game was against, but you remember when he saved a sure goal with a handball, and then the other team like missed the penalty kick. So he purposely used his hand to actually save his team from giving up a goal. I don't know if that's dirty or that's just a great move, right? I don't know if that's just a great move or a dirty play. And he's bitten multiple people, including Giorgio Chiellini from the Italian team, who's a Juventus player. So I don't care for him, but he's bitten multiple people, Luis Suarez. So it is time, my friends, for my Dono's top three list. Top three dirty players.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Speaking of biting people, I had to put Mike Tyson on this list. I go Mike Tyson at number three. I mean, if you were born like last month, you know Mike Tyson more as, oh, that's the guy from The Hangover. That's the guy from The One Man Show. Mike Tyson seems like a really nice, lovable teddy bear. That was not the Mike Tyson from the 80s and 90s, right? Like, he has completely changed the public perception on him, right? Like, Mike Tyson was a convicted rapist. You know, whether he claims to have been innocent of that or what. You know, he had a lot of issues throughout his life, not limited to, and it's why he gets the dirty moniker. He bit off chunks out of Evander Holyfield's ears in that 1997 fight. And then to me, the most unreal part of that wasn't just the fact that he bit the guy's earlobes off, but what he said afterwards. Hannibal Lecter ain't got bleep on me. I mean, that quote, that was when we were still all afraid of Mike Tyson, right? That was pre-hangover Mike Tyson. He might have been hungover that night, but that was pre-the hangover Mike Tyson. Hannibal Lecter ain't got bleep on me. I had to throw some love for him. Number three. Number two. Yeah, I may have tipped my hand to this. We talked about this woman a lot earlier. Tonya Harding. I mean, what she and her entourage did both psychologically and physically to Nancy Kerrigan, like, you've got to throw her on this list. Sending the goon to shatter the kneecap of Nancy Kerrigan. I didn't even particularly like Nancy Kerrigan. Nancy Kerrigan seemed to be very ungrateful for the success that she had. I was more of a Tonya Harding fan, to be honest with you, but one of the dirtiest players in the game. Leads us to number one, Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong, number one with a bullet. I mean, not only was he doping for over a decade, but he was literally suing people and winning, ruining lives to protect his lies. Lance. I know it was a dirty sport. Everybody was cheating in cycling. That's fine. But the lengths that Lance Armstrong went to ruin people's lives to protect his web of lies was unspeakably horrific. So that's my number one. All right, let's go to the phones. Charlie, you're on QAM. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, what's going on, Donald?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm fine, man. Looking forward to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, so am I, right? I mean, listen, preseason football is not my cup of tea, but that's when that's the only football being played, giddy up. I'm all over it.
Definitely. Look, I'm keeping a special eye out on my linebackers because I need to know we've upgraded. At least I need to know, see it for myself.
But it's hard to get any worse. I mean, I'll tell you that. I think we may have just upgraded by default.
But that's just my ploy to get on the radio listen. I only called you because of your son, you know?
Thank you, sir. Yeah, like, fatherhood is great, Charlie. Have you tried it? Are you a parent?
Yes, seven times over.
Oh, my God. See, how do you do that? Like, I can barely handle one.
Well, I mean, it just happened. But the thing is...
well said.
The thing is, there's no greater joy than when he gets a little older and he can walk and talk and he's just waiting for you at the door. You're going to get a kick out of that.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I really can't.
And then I guess when they finally grow up and graduate from high school, that's just a...
I'm totally going to, like, when he reaches life milestones like that, I'm not shy to say I will probably cry. Right? When my kid graduates high school, when he hopefully graduates college, I'm going to shed some tears. And you can call me out if you want to. If I cry at the end of movies, I'll cry at the end of my kids' graduations. What do I care?
Listen, the best thing about that is that out of everybody in the world, he's going to be the one that's going to get you. So go ahead and just be yourself.
Nice. I like that.
You know? Yeah, man, that's all I had to say. But like I said, the day you start coming home and he starts waiting for you at the door and his daddy, best feeling in the world.
That's fantastic. I love it. I appreciate the call, Charlie. I really can't wait to play sports with the kid. Throw a football, play some soccer with the kid. That's going to be a lot of fun, man. Sometimes my wife will tell me, she's like, well, what if he just doesn't like sports? It's not my kid then. She's trying to brace me for like the inevitable. Well, what if he just prefers like the arts, like which is fine. I enjoy the arts. What if he doesn't like sports? No, he's going to like sports. The thing that I'd be worried about, Hector, is what if he decides to be one of these punk kids who like roots for teams that I hate? What if he becomes a Patriots fan? Although I would think by the time he's old enough to appreciate sports, Tom Brady, Belichick are gone, and the Patriots are hopefully not good anymore at that point. But what if he becomes like a Jets fan or a Pats fan?
Yeah, why didn't he just become every other kid in Miami who's a Steelers fan or a Patriots fan or a 49ers fan or an Eagles fan, but then their basketball team is like the Warriors or the Rockets.
I hate that.
There's so many of those in this town. It's disgusting, to be honest.
It's disgusting. It's a very strong word, but a very appropriate word for that.
I mean, you see them all the time. They're a Patriots fan, but then they like the Warriors, or they're a Patriots fan and they're a Rockets
you've
or
just,
a Cavs.
You realize you've just described Manny Chang.
That is correct. Real Madrid. He was an LSU fan, and now he's jumped on the Texas
Longhorns, which that was completely out of left field. I don't know where that even came from.
Who's his hockey team? The Sharks, I think it is.
LA Kings. Now he was a Sharks fan a couple years ago. Now he's an LA Kings fan. So yeah, he's jumping all over the place, man. I just hope that I hope my kid has enough respect for me not to be a Juventus fan, not to be a Patriots or Jets fan, not to be a Knicks fan or a Cavaliers fan. I'll throw that one in as well. Like, have enough respect for your dad just to... I'd actually prefer him not to be a sports fan than to be a fan of teams that I hate.
Is it still a thing for the Knicks, for Heat fans to hate Knicks fans? I feel like that's like kind of a dying...
I feel like it should be. I think that's something that should be passed along by generations, whether they were around for the rivalry or not, right? I mean, like the same way that I feel like every Miami Hurricanes fan should hate the Florida Gators because of the history that goes back, you know, to even before the 80s, the history of hatred there.
Yeah, but see, I don't hate the Gators as much as I hate FSU.
See, I feel like you should, though. Like, if you were a real Canes fan, you should actually hate the Gators more.
I don't know. I think Florida, it's a millennial thing.
It might be Florida State to me, that obviously I dislike them, but that's more of like a healthy competitive respect. Whereas for the Gators, it's pure hatred, like pure unadulterated hatred. Same thing for Notre Dame. The hate Notre Dame hatred for any Miami fan, pure unadulterated hatred. Like you have no respect for them whatsoever or their institution. You just despise them. That's the way it's supposed to be. Like for Florida State, you dislike them, but it's more of like a healthy rivalry type of hate.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the rivalry with the younger crowd is not really that much of a thing. Like the Dolphins, besides them being irrelevant, you know, yeah, they don't really have a rivalry. And like,
right. It used to be the Jets, but now it's not existent.
Now it's not. And I mean, I don't see Heat fans nowadays really despising the Knicks. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it's a dying breed type of discussion to have when, you know, you're talking about rivalries and Heat and, you know, the fans of nowadays.
A texter writes this in probably because he's trying to get blocked from the text machine. He's going to be a Juventus fan, no doubt about it. That's forbidden in my house, right? Like, I don't care, like, who my kid wants to marry, what he wants to do with his life. That will not be an issue for me. I want my son to be happy no matter what. Unless he wants to be a Juventus fan, then he's not my kid.
What about if he grows up to like Argentinian women and he likes Paulo Dybala? That's a reason for me to like Juventus.
Why can't he like Mauro Icardi? Why can't he like Lautaro Martinez?
Because Dybala is hip. He's cool. He's got swag. He just has millennial written all over him.
I don't know, man. It's like, watch. He just came over to Inter from the Argentinian league. He phenomenal preseason. Watch Lautaro Martinez. I think he's going to be the next big thing from that country. My kid is forbidden from liking Dybala.
Dybala's just so cool. He's got a hot girlfriend.
He looks 13 though. There's something like, I can't trust the, like, Paulo Dybala. If you're listening, I know you're a huge fan of the show. Grow some hair on your face or something. Like, you can't just, he's like a 22-year-old man. You can't just walk around looking 13. Have you ever seen, there's a, if you watch the World Cup, you definitely saw this guy, and he used to play for Genoa. He just transferred to AC Milan. Diego Laxalt, the fullback from Uruguay, he looks 11. Like, grow some hair on your face, man. So you can't be a grown man walking around like that. You just cannot be. Like, Hector, I feel like if you didn't have facial hair, you'd be a really young-looking guy.
That is correct.
But you understand, I can't walk around looking 13. I got to grow some hair on my face and be a man.
I agree. I kind of have to play the Isco card. You know, if Isco looks like a young cat, but I'm sure if he, you know, trimmed his facial hair, he would look like a kid as well from Real Madrid.
Yeah. Texter writes in, people can get blocked from the text machine. Am I blocked? Well, I think by reading this, you know you're not blocked. But yeah, no, people can. I've never blocked anybody, but people can get blocked from the text machine. Let's talk to Eric here on QIM. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Donald, what's good?
What's up, man?
Good. Congrats on the new child, man.
Thank you, man.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, is there something, like, can you tell, like, are you ready to be a kid? Like, is it something that you can say that, are you ready to be a father? Is that something you can prepare for?
Not me. I don't know if some people can. Maybe the people who feel prepared for it, if they have, like, a really close family where they have a lot of, like, nieces and nephews that they kind of help raise. I think that might be the only thing. I mean, I do have like a 5-year-old niece, but she doesn't live in the same state as me, so
there's,
I wasn't,
nothing that you can prepare for.
I really don't think so, right? I mean, there are books you can read, but but honestly, like, there are books that you can read, but by the time, like, the child is born, you throw all of that out the window. For me, it was just on the job training, right? Like, the instinct kind of kicks in. And you end up being, like, more intuitive than you think you're going to be. But there was nothing beforehand that could prepare me for this, no.
Yeah, that's right. One thing I wanted to talk about is Dolphins in the upcoming season is the home opener against the Tennessee Titans. Did they make the playoffs last year?
They did, right? The Titans, yeah. I think they got bounced in the first round. But did they win their first playoff game, Hector?
They beat the Chiefs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
at Kansas City.
Yeah. But that's the thing with the home opener. We played these guys 3 years in a row, if you notice on the schedule. Back since 2016, Ryan Tannehill played them in Mariota. So it's going to be a good game, I think.
Yeah, and I remember, 2016, that was the game that where Tannehill got booed off the field. That was when we dropped to 1-4, and that was like that was Tannehill's lowest moment as a starting quarterback, I believe. And then he got a lot better after that game, but that was his lowest moment.
And then last year, I want to say, like, Jay Cutler won 6 games for us last year with this team. So you got Ryan Tannehill coming back. I think the league is getting kind of washed out, and all the, like, great quarterbacks, the Tom Brady's and the Big Ben.
Drew Brees, Big Ben, Philip Rivers.
Hey, Manny, like, they're out of the league now. So I feel like this time, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, it's their turn. These guys, these 8-year, 10-year guys in the league turn.
So I think Carson Wentz, I think, is going to be tremendous.
Yeah, that injury was a blow. So I'm kind of seeing how he bounced back.
Kirk Cousins, it's his time now as well. Deshaun Watson. I think that's the next wave of quarterbacks coming up. I actually think the future is pretty bright for the quarterback position. I don't know if there's ever going to be like another Brady and Peyton, at least not for like another generation, but I think there are some really good young quarterbacks coming up.
All right. Thank you, Donald.
Yeah, no problem, man. All right. We'll take more calls after the break. The Alex Donner Show continues here on QAM.
Radio.com.
At 9 o'clock, we'll hear from Eli Sussman, who covers the Miami Marlins, Fish Stripes. He wrote a very interesting piece about Jose Ureña and how the Marlins should handle him. Now, Major League Baseball's already handled Ureña. They've slapped him with a 6-game suspension. Slap on the wrist, really, for what he did last night to Ronald Acuña Jr. But we're going to talk with Eli Sussman in about 15 minutes. We'll take your calls, texts, and tweets in the meantime. Let's talk to Rio. You're on QAM. What's up, Rio?
Hey, what's up, Donna? How you doing, bro?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good, I'm good. Congratulations on the baby, by the way.
Thank you, man. I love all the love I'm getting on the phone lines for that tonight. It's actually kind of cool, especially since I spend so much time with the kid or thinking about the kid. To have people congratulate me and talk about it on the air is kind of cool as well.
No, it's a great feeling. I have a 1-year-old myself, so I know that feeling of being a father. And, like, it's always a joyous feeling, man, when you come home from work.
So I got to ask you, like, how crazy does it get once, like, the crawling and then the walking? Like, what am I in for here?
I'm going to tell you right now, once your son starts walking, crawling is not too bad.
Okay.
Crawling is not too bad. You can keep up. But once he starts walking, good luck, man. Good luck. He's going to wipe you out, man.
Oh, jeez.
You got to make sure that you have things that he can't get into. But I'm sure you'll be prepared for it, man. Just enjoy everything now and then wait till he gets older. And, like, you're blessed, man. So I'm really happy for you and your wife.
Thanks, man.
I want to get onto the driver's Landry thing. Because in my opinion, I think this man's going through an identity crisis, to be honest with you. Because you think about it like this. Who's his shadow? Who is he always in somebody's shadow? It's always Odell Beckham, right?
Yeah, Odell.
Okay. But he's never had the personality of Odell. Like, we all know Odell's, like, you know, rising star, one of the top receivers in the league, but off the field as well, he's blown up. Everybody knows Odell Beckham.
Yep.
And we all know Jarvis is doing these one-hand catches, but Jarvis is not – he doesn't have that personality like Odell. He's not all about flair. He's kind of
and he also – he hasn't had the flair on the field either. I mean, Odell is pulling in one-handed catches for 60 yards, where Jarvis Landry is hauling in a one-handed catch for 7 yards. So I think that makes a difference too.
Exactly. So then now when he gets his paycheck now that he's going to the Browns and he's getting top receiver money, he's still wondering why nobody's really comparing him to the Odell Beckham. So what do? You're a good, you know, he never had any off-the-field issues. He's always doing great work in charity. You know, he's had the NFL record for the most catches in like 4 years. And, you know, he's not being talked about. So what do? Let me get my paycheck, and now let me berate my former team and try to make a story about it.
Right.
So that's why I feel like he's going through an identity crisis with – he wants to be like Odell, but he doesn't have the talent. He doesn't have the talent like Odell does. And he's a great receiver. I think I think he's a great quality receiver, but I think he has that issue with trying to match the personality to be like the divas in the NFL, but he's not built like that. I really don't think he's built like that. But there's one more thing I want to say, too. I disagree with you when you're talking about we got to hate the Florida Gators more than Florida State.
Okay, tell me why.
I agree with you about the competitive spirit, but I cannot stand Florida State, my brother.
I'm not saying I like those guys. I despise them, but it's just not the same level for how I despise the Gators. I don't know. It's tough to put it into words. It's like two things that I really, really hate, but I'm just telling you which one I hate even more.
Yeah, I get it, but for me, man, them 7 years of hell that I went through when they won seven straight, man, I have buddies that went to Florida State. They were texting me year in and year out, giving me hell. And then last year, man, when we won, man, I almost threw a whole damn parade. I was excited.
Yeah, Rio, no lie. I texted at least a half dozen people after last year's game. Like I've got Florida State fans in my own family. I've got Florida State alumni in my own family who give me a hard time. So I finally had my moment last year. They're still hearing about it from me.
Oh, of course. One of my best friends that I've known for almost 10 years, he's blocked me on the phone because I kept giving him hell about Miami being Florida State, even starting this year. So I haven't talked to him like 2 months now. But he's going to get it this season. But, it's that Florida State, you know what I'm saying? Like, even the whole Jalen Ramsey thing that came out yesterday, like, I agree with him, but I'm having a tough time because he's a Florida State guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, it's pretty funny because he's ballsy enough to do that. But I'm like, it's Jalen Ramsey. He went to Florida State. You know what I'm saying? Like, I laugh at the whole the James Winston situation, even though it was, you know, a crazy situation. But I'm talking about back when he was doing the crab legs and all this goofy. I was laughing and plot like, because it was the Florida State guy. But, like, you know, I just can't have that same hate for Florida as much as I do Florida State. Florida, I don't like them either, but that Florida State, that damn chant they do with the arms, they look like, you know, like the arms look like it's having a muscle spasm or something like that.
I hate when other teams do it, like the Atlanta Braves. Like, I want to punch them all in the face, too.
Yeah, I'm like, they got a grown man wearing a costume and on the top of a horse trying to throw a spear on the field. Like, come on, man, get grown up, grow up.
Where do you stand on Notre Dame, though, Rio?
Notre Dame, I can't. Whew, Notre Dame, I don't. I'm a millennial, so I understand the rivalry from the '80s. But you know, I don't despise them. I don't like them, but I don't despise them. However, you know, I've heard from my uncle who's a diehard Hurricanes fan. He can't stand Florida State. I mean, he can't stand Notre Dame at all. He cannot stand Notre Dame at all. And when we beat Notre Dame that handsy, man, that man almost called me crying because he was just like so happy at the way that we just, you know, straight up tore him up in the Hard Rock.
I know the feeling. Thanks, man.
God bless you and your family, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I was almost crying tears of joy in that stadium last year watching that thumping we put on Notre Dame. That was excellent. I mean, it's funny because I nearly cried a couple times during last year's Cane season. Like, I was crying tears of relief at the end of that Florida State game. Like, Darryl Langham is a saint. And then at the Notre Dame game, like, I'm almost crying tears of joy. How much I despise that program to put the beating on them that we put on them. Especially in, like, you know, the recent meetings against that team since the rivalry was done. They owned us. Right? That game in Chicago back in 2012, that was an absolute embarrassment. The Sun Bowl loss in 2010, humiliating. So to put that hurting on Notre Dame was fantastic. Let's talk to Pedro. You're on WQAM. What's up, Pedro?
Hey, what's up, Donald? How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. I actually wanted to talk about like four things really quick.
Sure.
Basically, my top three, a little bit about the Dolphins, not much. And then, you know, just a question about UM. And my last thing is going to be about TV shows. But for the first thing, my top three, Dono, is off the top of my head, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Bill Romanowski.
Yeah.
And then this one might be a little bit of a surprise. The only reason why is they showed her on national television. So in the back of my head, I'm like, I can only imagine when it wasn't televised, Elizabeth Lambert, the New Mexico soccer girl.
Yeah, you know what? I had forgotten about her, and I saw her pop up in one of those. Like, I looked up a couple of lists on the internet on Dirty's Players. What was it that she did again?
She was clotheslining and punching the girl.
Jeez.
Like, straight up ridiculous things. Like, I mean, I've never seen something like that. I mean, wow. When it came to that blatantly, I was like, wow, that's insane. And then for the Dolphins, I mean, I was one of those who got sucked into, like, that whole Jay Cutler thing last year.
Me too.
And I can't do it again, Donald. I'm going to wait till the regular season. The only thing I will say, though, is for me, Tannehill has a big target on his back. And I'm so sick and tired of people like, oh, we got to wait for Tannehill. See, oh, he was hurt. He's in his seventh year. He's 30 years old. He's supposed to be in his prime. They're supposed to be not a question by now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I look at, like, you know, the Jets got Sam Darnold. Buffalo got Josh Allen. It just, I feel like if it doesn't work out, it's going to set us behind even further.
Right. I mean, it is very possible that by the end of this season, Tannehill is the fourth best quarterback in the AFC East, right? I mean, obviously everyone is behind Brady, but it's going to depend on how good those rookies look with the Jets and the Bills. And Sam Darnold looks really good to me from what I've seen so far. We'll see where Tannehill places, but I like to fear for the worst and hope for the best.
No, I agree absolutely. And actually, I'm watching him on he's playing tonight and he's starting, and he looks, for a rookie starting, not too bad. He's making his passes and not making mistakes. So that's why I'm not looking at too much defense. I think this year he has a decent O-line. He has the weapons. We'll see what Tannehill does. I mean, he's supposed to be really comfortable. But, you know, only time will tell. And then also about the hurricane, I'm curious because they blacked out the scrimmage. There was no media.
Right.
Is there anything coming out of Hurricanes camp? The only reason why I'm more concerned about the Hurricanes is because by the time we finally do see them, they're playing LSU on a Monday,
right.
Sunday night.
No, you know, all that we get are little details here and there, but it's coming, you know, mostly from the coaching staff. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, man. Take it. You know, we do hear about injuries. You know, George Brown getting banged up. Obviously, Michael Irvin II, he's going to be out 4 months with a knee injury. You know, Jaren Williams at one point last week was banged up, but then he was back in practice. And then, as far as like the actual nuts and bolts go, all that we know about the scrimmage was like, okay, so Mark Richt says Malik Rozier looked pretty good. The defense looks great, which is probably true because that defense should be great. But I cannot sit here and tell you that I have a good handle on this Hurricanes team because I don't, right? I mean, when I watch them play September 2nd against LSU, I'm going to be essentially watching them for the first time since the spring game.
The only good thing I think what I read on Miami Herald, the only good thing is they are actually able to go through 150 plays.
Yeah.
Meaning that the depth.
Yes.
Finally,
I'm glad you brought that up because that is an important detail, which I did verify that with Don Bailey Jr., who was at the scrimmage. Like Don and Josie get special access that, you know, members of the media don't get because they work for the university. So they get special access. They did run a ton of plays. And as you probably remember, Pedro, the last few years, the scrimmages were like bare bones because they didn't have any depth, right? Like you barely had two deep on the depth chart, let alone three deep on the depth chart. This year, they actually have enough three deep on the depth chart. They can run 150 plays in a scrimmage. That is a foreign concept for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years at the University of Miami. Usually you'd see more like 80, 90 plays in a scrimmage because you didn't have the depth.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's just a sign of good things to come. But my last thing was TV shows. Last Friday, I always listen to you every night because I work days, and at nights I like to listen to sports radio just to find out what's going on. And you actually, Kevin Rogers was on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, damn, Donald's not on. But I'm like, I'll leave it on. And then he started talking about TV shows. And I know you were talking about how obviously, you know, you're blessed with having a child, and you probably don't have time to watch TV shows.
Zero time. It's embarrassing. Like, I love the show Westworld, and I've only seen the first three episodes of the second season. I've got like 80 shows in my Netflix queue that I probably won't get to for like 18 years once the kid's graduating high school, going off to college. It's like it's such a different life I'm living right now. And you know, I've got to find a way to make time for Game of Thrones when that comes back, right? Because when Game of Thrones comes back, I'm going to, like, have to find a babysitter for Sunday nights. Like, we'll have to work something out.
No, I agree. But there's one thing I will tell you. I was kind of against it. HBO Vice. When it first came out, I was like, you know what? It's just one of those news things.
I love it.
I'm gonna ignore it. And actually, I was gonna tell you, Kevin Rogers is like, you know what? I said, you know, I was thinking the same way he was thinking. He was like, man, you know what? I didn't think Vice was gonna be much. It's a 30-minute show. It's whatever. But he's like, I started watching it, and he's like, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It is. So it I'm is like, great.
I started watching it, and Donald, I can't stop watching it. It is like, it's the truth. It's from both sides. And you actually find out, and then the way they go into, like, these countries and the things they do, I was amazed, man. That to me was, do you watch Vice too?
I do. I mean, I'm way behind on it, as you can imagine. But I watched Vice a lot, like, a couple years ago when they started running it.
And it was amazing. But have a great night, Donald, and God bless your family, and we'll talk some other time.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I think like Vice on HBO, they do a nice job getting more into like long form news stories, embedded reports that probably really take months to put together. You know, cable news, local news these days, it's very much it's like soundbite form of news where Vice takes a more in depth look. All right, we're gonna talk some Marlins. We're gonna talk some Marlins because you have dirty things happening on that diamond with these Marlins. Jose Ureña. We'll talk about the backlash, the fallout of what he did. We're going to talk with Eli Sussman of Fish Stripes next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better over
here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.